So let's move on to the next talk. So next speaker is Dr. Imam from George Washington University.
And I'd like to recognize my daughter, Megan Miles, and Dave Nigel. Yeah, the outline of my talk is, so I'll just give some introduction and then some articles related issues. Then talk about fabrication, characterizations of, and the evaluation of palladium boron alloys, because that has given us a good result. And then talk about calorimetry. And the calorimetry part, I will leave it to Melvin Miles, who is going to follow me, and then give you some progress and a summary. Now, just to give you an idea, now we are coming to the conclusion that it is a nuclear reaction. Even though if you look at some of the physicists or chemists, they will say, no, it is not chemical, it is has to do with chemical reaction, not nuclear. So the question here, now we know that we have a reactant and then the initial energy, and then we have proper condition, you get products as an energy release. The question is a proper condition, that's a big question mark. And I'm going to give somewhat on that. So, proper conditions. Now we are talking about a lot of things about that. As I mentioned, if you look at the palladium, it looked weird every time he looked at it. Mike was talking about the annealing rate part of it. Martin mentioned at one point that there may be effect of impurities. So there's a lot of things going on. So it is an interdisciplinary approach. That's what we are lacking here. Still we think that we are sitting in a black box. Some people say, no, the solution lies in physics or chemistry. Some may say that no, it may be nuclear physics or electrochemistry. Some may think that no, it is a solid state physics or chemistry and chemistry. Some may say no, instrumentation science or technology. And some may say no, it's electrical, mechanical or thermal engineering issues, or possibly a statistics and data analysis. So there are a lot of things, a lot of questions are coming on. Now, some may say it is pathological science. So here I'm going to talk about material science because I come from that and give you some insight what material science brings to the table. So what I'm going to talk about basically just mainly some of the limited material issues, not a whole lot. I will go into some of those. So if you look at material science issues, We are using palladium and nickel. There are issues about impurities. There are issues comes about alloying elements. There are issues about grain size. Possibly some dislocations. Maybe vacancies that just need 20 decades. Some of the role of vacancies. Texture. There is a, if you are using modern materials, then there is a question about shape, size and morphology. If you have, there are other issues, strain hardening and bulk hardening and other things. So anyway, so what I'm going to do is, you have seen that effect was on palladium basically. And I looked at a lot of materials which is present in Martin's experiment. So I went through a lot of elements which was there. So I prepared a lot of different types of alloys. So if you looked at this pure palladium, commercially pure palladium, we made silver alloys, we made boron alloys, cerium alloys, and there's a lot of other alloys. We made it based on the impurities or based on the elements present in palladium into Ponsel flashing experiment. So that was the intention. So let's take a look at it. I'm just going to present only three: palladium silver, palladium cerium, and palladium boron. I will not go into other alloys which we made it. So let's take a look at palladium cerium. So one thing is that in palladium, which was used by Martin and Pons, all the elements were in solution. There was no intermediates or compounds in that palladium. So I tried to limit my always in the solution area. I didn't go into any other compound, anything else. So this is palladium cerium. This one is palladium silver, and I limited to only 10% silver. I made different percentages, but I limited to 10% of silver. And then palladium boron alloys. You can see there's a question mark here, but this is a miscibility gap. And I limited to in this area so that we don't go any, or we don't make any compound. So all boron which is there in solution, that was my intention. So I limited not to go beyond 1% of boron into palladium. So let's take a look at it, the preparation part of it. What we did is we took a sponge and high purity elements, did some of the arc melting. It's a copper heart, and we did the swelling and rolling of the material after melting it. So here is the arc melter here, and this is the swelling. It's a typical arc melting, and swelling is done. And after that, we supplied the material to different places, and these are the materials we produced out of that. We did produce some plates also, but these are the rods which is used in different experiments. One thing I like to mention here, this is the material when we swage it. When we do annealing at 650 degrees C for 2 hours, we are going to have this material changes into that. If you do it at higher temperature, then you can have a pretty large grain size. Now, the smaller the grain size, the strength will be more. If the grain size goes higher, then the strength of the material goes down. So this is about palladium, pure palladium. Then this is for the palladium silver. This is the optical micrograph again here. And this is swaged, then anneal, and then anneal at 1100 degrees C for 2 hours. Now you can see one thing here. This is the time in minutes. This is the palladium, this is the palladium silver. And you can see the grain size increases as you keep it at temperature and time, you change it. And then, so this is for 950 degrees centigrade, this is for 650 degrees centigrade, this is palladium silver. And the effect of just giving the micro hardness, that micro hardness changes depending on the grain size. So you can see here that is palladium silver, this is palladium here, and as the temperature is higher, you can see the decrease. There's an increase in the grain size and decrease in the micro hardness, just reverse. So the main message I'm going to give here is that the grain size is smaller, the material will be stronger. Grain size is larger, material will be weaker. So let's talk about palladium boron alloy, because this is what gave a very good results. So here, why we are doing alloying and why boron? Let me just give some insight why I picked up that. One thing, that palladium has a face center cubic structure, we all know. It is like gold, very soft, ductile, and it's a resistance to corrosion. It just behaves like just like a goat there. And you can see here the hardness and resilience of radiometry were too low for many applications. Now, if you add boron to palladium and you limit the percentage below the formation of the winter metallics, you are going to end up with two-phase, FCC phase, with a different lattice parameter. One phase being distributed as a very fine particles with the other phase. Now, the creation of two-phase, which is cubic FCC, makes material very hard and less susceptible to cracking. This is attractive for some applications. In particular, it is likely exploration to produce energy generation. Likely exploration. Now, another benefit, beneficial of boron is that you create a boron oxide which scavenges the oxygen into palladium. So it decreases that also, and this floors that you can remove that by processing. So these are the benefits, or these are the reason why we picked up the boron into the palladium. So again, the process is very similar to what I described before. We took a 5-9 palladium, very high purity boron, used the arc melter with copper hard, and I selected three different weight percent. We attempted to that. Of course, some of the palladium, boron is being used to scavenge the oxygen. Though we attempted 0.75, we ended up with 0.62. The grain size, we annealed the material at 650 degrees C for 2 hours. We ended up with the grain size of 90 micrometers. Again, the impurity content, the palladium was 47 ppm, copper was this for 26, and tungsten was 2.2 ppm. The irregular shape of shapes of the cast material was swathed and rolled also. And of course, the two distinct phases were formed into this material. And we have, fortunately, we got two patents issued on that. So when we did a glow discharge, I'm just giving you some of the, and here we attempted 0.75, we ended up with 0.62 boron. Now again, just to give you an idea, this is as received boron, and I'm talking about this is a 0.75% boron. And again, as you anneal it or heat it at a different temperature and time, you can see the grain size again changes. And again, the grain size is larger, the material is weaker. This is 0.25 here, this is a 0.5 here, and this one here is a 0.75, and all of them are for 650 degrees C for 2 hours. So you can see the changes. You can see here, for the same time and temperature 0.25, grain size is larger compared to this one. So this one here is a small grain size. And this is a TEL. And you can see there is a fine particles, and that's the second phase, the minor phase, into the major matrix. And you can see the roughly the minor phase is around 10 to 100 angstrom. So X-ray diffraction. So this is for 0.25. This one is for 0.5. And this one is 0.75. Now, so if you look at, this is the major phase, and that's the minor phase, and you can see this is a weight percent of boron, and that's a lattice parameter. So you ended up with, the interesting part is you ended up with two phase, and both are phase center cubic, and one is very minor phase, which becomes like a dispersed wire or into the material, and that makes material very hard. So this is again, just giving you an example of an idea which we made. And here, no excess heat. There's no excess heat for palladium silver. There's no excess heat for palladium silver, cesium and boron alloys. And here is the heat for 0.78% boron, and you can see the heat, and it's around 300 millivolt. And again, maybe we'll go into details of this much more. So let me just summarize this one here. That there are three different compositional alloy equilibrium shown here, basically. We made a lot more alloys. And all the alloys have a 2 FCC phase here, palladium boron, with the different lattice parameter. And in the experiment, we supplied 8 samples to channel A. 7 did give positive results. 1 sample was cracked, and it didn't give the positive results. So basically, these results are very encouraging. You can see that palladium boron also produced energy study with male bias lead. And excess power appears early in the experiment. And finally, the palladium silver and palladium boron cesium didn't give the excess power. And with that, let me conclude. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions or comments?
Do you go back to the slide with the SEPS, the plasma?
This one here?
The one way back with the glow discharge analysis. Yeah. Okay. Could you say a few words about that?
Yeah. I mean, we sent this sample and the analysis was done. And they did, I think, 56 elements at a time. And as I said, that we attempted to have 0.75 boron. And we ended up with 0.62, because part of the boron is used to scavenge the oxygen from the metal. Yeah.
Have you looked at plating boron compounds by the electrolysis method?
No, we didn't. I didn't go beyond into the compound region. The whole idea was to limit the addition of boron into the solution.
Right.
So all boron was into the solution in palladium.
Yeah.
And there's a miscibility gap. So we ended up with 2 phase. And one is a minor phase, which becomes like a dispersed wire, becomes very strong.
Yeah, I was just concerned if you think
it would
be similar.
No.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, next.
Thank you for doing that presentation. I have a question about the correlation between the TEM and SEM analysis of micrograph. And the original phase diagram, it seems that you have found what is the maximum quantity of miscible boron into palladium, because it seems that somehow the boron tends to precipitate or segregate in a way out of the palladium crystals.
So talking about this here, this portion is still, there's a question mark. And if you look at the literature, you may find some different compounds there. But I restricted to the weight percent of 0.1 here. This is weight percent here, and that's the atomic percent. So I am in this region here. And with the X-ray analysis and all these things, we found out that all the boron gone into the solution and created to phase, which is a which is what indicated here in this diagram here.
Okay. Nice summary, Milan.
Thank you.
When you were, after your annealing,
yes,
did you fast cool or quench or slow?
No, it's a furnace cool.
Excuse me?
Furnace cool.
Okay, so just turn it on.
Yeah.
And so yeah, it didn't control it.
Right.
All right.
But we tried some, I didn't go into details of that, but we wanted to see the two phase, if we can quench it and bring the two phase into one phase also. And we did that, all those things.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe a comment. We used boron carbide palladium mixed with boron carbide since 1993, and we presented data at the conference in Monte Carlo. But for just about 3% concentration of boron carbide, then maybe a comment was the weak point was that the best plate from Tanaka company give larger value of chassis. But boron carbide was stable, so about half in the chassis production. So it seems that the best pure palladium works better of boron carbide that we have developed and published. So the point is, so this was the reason why we skip to other material. Pure palladium is better, the best pure palladium is better than boron carbide alloy. But we never had such kind of information in such a way, so we skip to other materials. Anyway, boron carbide is very stable over cycling. You can do every time several without breaking. All is published at the time, so easy to check our data.
Thank you. Okay, let's thank speaker again.